As the 17-year-old Karl Rossmann, who had been sent to America by his poor parents because a servant girl had seduced him and had a child by him, entered New York Harbor in the already slowing ship, he saw the statue of the Goddess of Liberty, which he had been observing for some time, as though in a sudden blaze of sunlight. Her arm with the sword stretched upward, as though newly raised, and the free breezes wafted around her. "So high," he said to himself, never thinking of leaving the ship, and gradually getting pushed over to the railings by the ever-growing crowd of porters streaming past him. A young man whom he had got to know slightly during the voyage said in passing, "What, aren't you keen to get off the ship?" "I'm quite ready," said Karl, smiling at him, and from high spirits and because he was a strong lad, he lifted his suitcase onto his shoulder. But as he looked past his acquaintance, who, twirling his stick a little, was already moving away with the rest, he noticed that he had left his umbrella down below in the ship. He asked his acquaintance, who did not seem much gratified, to be kind enough to wait for a moment beside his suitcase, surveyed the location quickly so that he could find his way back, and hurried off. Below, to his disappointment, he found a passage that would have shortened his journey a good deal, closed for the first time, probably because all the passengers were disembarking, and had to make his way laboriously through innumerable small rooms, corridors constantly branching off, short flights of stairs always followed by others, an empty room with an abandoned desk, until, since he had been this way only once or twice and always in a large group, he really was completely lost. Being utterly perplexed, and since he encountered nobody else and only kept hearing the trampling of thousands of people's feet above his head and noticed, like a distant breath, the last throbbings of the engine which had already been switched off, he began, without reflecting, to hammer on a randomly chosen small door, at which he had paused amid his wanderings. "It's open," called someone inside, and Karl, breathing a heartfelt sigh of relief, opened the door. "Why are you hammering on the door like a madman?" asked a huge man, barely glancing at Karl. Through some shaft in the ceiling, a dim light, long since used up on the upper decks, penetrated the miserable cabin in which a bed, a cupboard, a chair, and the man were standing side by side, as though they had been packed away. "I've lost my way," said Karl. "I didn't notice it so much during the voyage, but it's a dreadfully large ship."
"Yes, you're right there," said the man with a touch of pride, as he fiddled incessantly with the lock of a small suitcase, repeatedly pressing it shut with both hands in order to hear the bolt snapping into place. "But come on in," went on the man. "You can't just stand outside."
"Aren't I disturbing you?" asked Karl.
"Oh, how can you disturb me?"
"Are you a German?" said Karl, seeking reassurance, as he had heard much about the dangers, especially from Irishmen, which threaten newcomers to America.
That's right," said the man.
Karl was still hesitating. Then the man unexpectedly seized the latch, quickly pulled the door shut, and pulled Karl inside with it.